Thanks, first of all, Teddy, for hosting me here this morning. I came early to do all the mic checks. I forgot that y'all have pulpit mic. I hadn't had one of those in a long time, so I didn't have to do that. I want to say also, I really appreciate the music. Y'all did such a great job. That's a real blessing to me. And I appreciate Booney asking me to come and preach this morning. Booney and I have been friends for about 25 years. We play golf together. We run around a lot together. We have an agreement when we play golf. If one of us falls out, we don't give mouth to mouth. We're just going to die. Because I don't think I could drag him back to the house. I think he'd just have to lay out there. And I'm not sure he could move me. So we just have that agreement. But I am grateful to be here this morning. Like I said, I like Booney, but David Taylor and I were talking a while ago, and he told somebody, this is Booney today. I said, David, I don't like you that much. You start calling me Booney, we're going to have problems. If you would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7, I want to look at the last part of the chapter here. I know y'all know all about Facebook a lot more than I do. I don't know much about technology. I'm not a real good technological person. But I read the comments. I like to keep up with friends. I guess that's what Facebook's for. And over the years, I've noticed that one of the things that I really like about it is I can keep up with high school friends and college friends, people I've met through the years. And you know, I noticed something. Those people get old. And it happens really fast, you know. You can look around here. There's some young people. They're slim and pretty. You know, most of us used to be that way too. I'm not sure I was ever pretty, but I was slimmer than I am now. And I, you know, age just comes and it catches up on you. It sneaks up on you. It just wears you down. And all of a sudden, what used to be young and virile gets to be gray-headed, and then it begins to bend over. And like Ecclesiastes says, the life just goes away. So, you know, I like, there are people that I went to high school with that I thought were drop-dead gorgeous. And now, not quite so much anymore. I've noticed that too, and I'm sure it's true of me. Men have to admit that ladies are not the only one that change as time goes on. I don't think I was quite as thick around the middle. I'm probably not carrying much more than 100 pounds than I was when Marsh and I got married. That was a long time ago. But y'all laugh. Y'all look around. There are other people like me. I'm not the only one. But physical changes are really not what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the changes that come as you age. And I want to tell you that just because you get older doesn't mean that you get wiser. Wisdom comes a certain way. Age at least increases the possibility that you can become wiser, but it doesn't mean that you necessarily do. Age is also, I don't think it has much to do with wisdom. You do learn certain things. You know, if you fall off a house, you don't want to get up on that house again. I mean, you learn certain things like that. But the more we devote ourselves to, we don't devote ourselves to getting older. We just get older. But you have to devote yourself to become wiser. You have to learn to become wiser. The more that you devote yourselves to Christ, the deeper your walk with Christ is. The deeper, the broader the relationship. Your spiritual wisdom increases the more time you spend with Christ. That's why you'll hear preachers say, you need to be reading your Bible. Folks, that Bible is the Word of God. He tells us how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do. So the problem comes about when we think that just because we get older means we get spiritually wiser. That's not a true statement. Problem with churches today, a lot of churches today, I don't know that's necessarily true of this one. I haven't been, I know a lot of you through the years, but I don't know everything about it. We tend to think that if somebody lives long enough and they get gray hair, then they have this certain wisdom able to give churches direction, but that's not true either. Just because you get old doesn't mean that you know the heart of God. That's why I want to look at this passage this morning. In this passage today, you see the wisdom of a man who probably wasn't very old. I don't know. They don't give birth dates on these Bible characters. But, in, you know, the way I understand about Stephen is is he wasn't really old, but he was devoted to the Lord. At the time of his conversion, until the time of the event in Acts, probably wasn't a very long period of time. And while there's no record of his age, I just have the impression that he's probably a young man. And while Stephen may not have been old, he was, however, the scripture says, a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're listening to what God's Spirit says to you, it makes a lot of difference, because this brain doesn't operate like the Spirit of God. This brain wants to take care of me, and the Spirit of God wants us to follow God's direction. So while he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was a man of God who was used greatly by God for his glory. And he was a man of God used to accomplish much in a very short period of time. But Stephen died. While Stephen was a man of God, he's also a man who suffered greatly because of his relationship with God. You know, somewhere in our history, as churches, as Christians, we came by the idea that because God loves us, that God wants us to be healthy and wealthy and wise and all that kind of stuff. Well, folks, God just wants us to be faithful. And when we're faithful, we see what God intends, and he might use us and bless us and have us be healthy and wealthy and wise. But some of us, he may have to use us as he did Stephen, who didn't live a long period of time, but he so walked with God that everybody recognized he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the Jews didn't like him. The Jews were people who knew the Word of God. They knew the Word of God as much as anybody. They carried little boxes on their head. They kept the Word of God printed around them. They kept it in them. They quoted it all the time in their synagogues. But there's a whole lot of difference in just knowing what the Word of God is and letting the Word of God make a difference in your life. And when they ran up on a man like Stephen, who was sold out to the Holy Spirit, they really didn't like him at all. You see, Stephen, in chapter 6, he begins working miracles. The Spirit of God was filling him, and he began doing things, and he began saying bad things about the Jews. They didn't like it. Now, what he was saying was they had it all in their head. They weren't living it out in their lives. And so they called together all these Jews, and they began to persecute Stephen because they knew that there were people who saw God in this man, and they knew that he wasn't like everybody else. How many people in your life have you remembered that were just godly people? You know, godly people are not like everybody else. You can just sense it on them. You can remember. I remember a lady named Bess McCrell. I remember a lady named Julia. Julia Dunaway. She just loved me to death, and they loved us because the Spirit of God just poured out of them. Those are people who walk with God. Stephen was one of those people. And so when you get to Acts chapter, if you would, I got eyes. I can put these on. Let me read you a part of this passage here. Look with me in chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Now skip down to verse 10. But they were unable to stand up against his wisdom. He's talking about the Jews and the spirit by whom he was speaking. Then they persuaded some men to say, "We heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God." You see, these Jews didn't like him because Stephen began to tell the truth. And, you know, sometimes people don't like the truth. And so they accused him of blasphemy, of speaking to undermine the law of Moses. They thought that he was trying to tear down their religious structure. And they said they had somebody accuse him of speaking against the temple. But it was all lies, because it was the council who was trying to ruin the Word of God. So when God gave him a chance, Stephen began to speak. And when he spoke, he began to preach the Word of God that flowed out from the Holy Spirit that was inside him. And when he began to speak that word, it began to convict the people. He spoke of the Jewish nation, beginning with the call of Abraham and ending in the ministry of the Lord Jesus along the way. And Stephen reminded them that they were guilty. He reminded them that the Jews were had an idolatry. They worshiped the nation rather than their God. And they had turned to other gods, and they were being judged by the Lord. Now, Stephen's words cut them to the quick. I mean, they didn't like to hear the truth. Not many of us like to hear the truth. Y'all probably aren't real happy that I told you, as you age, you get old. I mean, I don't like to be told that I'm fat and ugly. I got a son, he tells me, "Dad, you're fat." And I say, "Yeah, but you're ugly and I can lose weight." You can't lose ugly. It goes all the way to the bone. So nobody likes truth. But when Stephen began to speak the truth, the Jews really began to get angry. And they were under such conviction. Look what Stephen says in verse 54. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. They ground their teeth. They were so mad they wanted to do something about it because they hated to be confronted with the truth. And they were brought under such conviction that these so-called dignified spiritual leaders of the people, these religious leaders, actually ran to Stephen, began to do everything they could to finish him off. They ground their teeth. You've been so mad, you didn't want to say anything, you just shut your mouth and begin to grind your teeth. That's what was going on. So Stephen reacted to their attack by telling them that they're mad at him. They're trying to get rid of him. And Stephen all of a sudden says, "I see the Lord, and he's at the right hand of the Father." And when he began to tell them what he was seeing, they flew into an even greater rage. We got to stop this kind of stuff. It's really getting bad. In verses 55 through 60, it says, "But Stephen, filled by the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heaven. He saw God's glory with Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' And then they screamed at the top of their lungs, top of their voices, covered their ears, and together rushed against him. And they threw him out of the city, began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul," who we find out becomes Paul. "And they were stoning Stephen as he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Lord, don't charge them with this sin.' And saying this, he fell asleep." So we read of his death. In this sad scene, from the tragedy surrounding the death of this man who was just filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking the word of God, this first Christian martyr, there came help for us today. You see, Stephen, in these verses, passed through a place that David called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Now, there's some people who think the Valley of the Shadow of Death means when you die. But other people say that they believe that this Valley of the Shadow of Death can be really tough times. And I kind of lean that way because we usually only die once. But you go through tough times how many times during your life? If I went around the room and began to interview you, each of you could give time after time when you went through a time you didn't know what to do with. Your life turned upside down. And so we go through these valleys, these dark times. That valley had been part of Stephen because they didn't like to hear the truth, and now he actually had gone through that valley. The analogy of the shepherd leading the sheep is a precious thing. I love David, and when he's talking about leading them, he's talking about leading them to places where there was food and water and warmth and care. But you know, to get to those places, sometimes you had to go through difficult times. You had to go through those valleys when it was really tough. And on the journey from place to place to those places of peace, those places of safety, they're forced sometimes to pass through some difficult, difficult times. And Stephen's that example. In our text, Stephen's passing through just such a place. And even though Stephen died in that place, he passed through this place of dark shadows into the very presence of God. Can you imagine? This is one thing that encourages me. You see, when the believer dies, when someone who's given their life to Christ, who's been changed, who's accepted God's grace and accepted his forgiveness of sin and, and become part of that family, accepted the Holy Spirit in his life. When that person dies, we go from being in this place, in this body, to being in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Scripture says. And so Stephen didn't have any grief. He was taking that next step. He just changed addresses. He didn't cease to be. And as he stepped into the presence of the Lord, I realize it's difficult to rise to Stephen's faith. It takes time to get to the place where you trust God to that extent. And none of us have suffered like Stephen did. If you're sitting here, I hope none of you are dead, because it'd be kind of awkward. But it's also not very likely. But you will go through tough times. Life's filled with tough times. Life's filled with hardship. And church folks are those who go through those hardships trusting that God goes through them with him. Those hard places are just part of life. Sickness, financial difficulty, family problems, marital discord, children problems. I mean, we have all different kinds of problems. And they're all different other kinds of problems that Satan uses to attack us. And if we live, our heart keeps beating, we go through those things. But I realized that those difficult days and those tough times, those dark times, are a reminder, you know, life's hard. Life's hard. But I think that we can find some help in looking at what Stephen did during his death valley as he goes through this difficult time. And even though he died in the valley, Stephen showed us that the depths of his wisdom determined how he lived. The depth of his wisdom, the depth of your wisdom, determines how you live. You think about that just a minute. Most of us live from experiences that we learned in the past. My daughter one time was fussing at me. She's a psychologist, and she started telling me all the things I did wrong raising her. And finally, I just said, all right, I'm a terrible dad. And she said, no, you're a great dad. I just do things differently than you did. And I said, well, praise God, you finally figured out the secret to raising kids, because I learned things from, I wouldn't do what my parents did. And when I raised you, I didn't do those things. I made my own mistakes. And so, you know, the depth of the wisdom that we have determines how we live out our lives. In this passage, I think there are two distinct types of people, two distinct types of lifestyle. There are people like the Jews. These people knew every word. They knew the word of God. They were driven by their synagogue, by their guilt trips. Jews even today live in a guilt trip. They were so guilty that they memorized the word of God. They knew the word of God more than anything. And they knew every word that Stephen had spoken was true. They had heard it in the word. And they heard these stories all their lives, but they didn't apply it. It was all just head knowledge. Those are people with worldly wisdom. Most of us operate on worldly wisdom. You know, if you learn something and you've seen it happen over and over again, you assume that's going to happen in the future. The Bible makes it clear that there was a vast difference between Stephen and his attackers. You see, Stephen was a man that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. There was just something about Stephen that wasn't like everybody else. Why was it not like everybody else? Because when God gets hold of us, God's in control. And when God's in control, you make different decisions. You act different ways. You do different things. There's just a difference in the way that we live. And so these attackers, Stephen was focused on the Lord, and they were focused on trying to defend their religion. They weren't focused on the Lord. They were focused on everything that they had learned. Stephen confronted the crowd. He says in verse 51, he says, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're always resisting the Holy Spirit. As your ancestors did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They even killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become." Now, that'd make me mad. You received the law under the direction of the angels, and yet have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were enraged in their hearts and gnashed their teeth at him. Folks, that's worldly wisdom. Those with the worldly wisdom is what we do when we just think it's best. We don't ask God, we think it's best. I've been in so many meetings, church meetings, godly people, and people say, well, I just think that's best. And I think, you know, I had an opinion too. But is that what God thinks is best? Because if we're going to be the church God intends us to be, it really doesn't matter what we think. It really matters what God thinks. Stephen understood that. These Jews, they didn't. They lived on worldly wisdom. So if I say that there are at least two things, first was worldly wisdom, the second thing was godly wisdom. Stephen was different from evil men that were around him, and it showed in his life, the things that he did, the things he talked about. You see, Stephen wasn't afraid of anybody. He's being persecuted. They're fixing to take his life, and he tells them, you're guilty. You're guilty. You're sinners, and you need to change. And so it says in verse 55, but Stephen, filled by the Holy Spirit. There was a vast difference between Stephen and his attackers, because God had filled this man. God filled his heart. God showed him what he wanted him to do. They were attacking him, but he has, that's another thing about this passage. You know, they're throwing rocks at him, they're fixing to kill him, and he's not even worried about them. You know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not worried about your circumstance. You're not worrying about the things that are going on around you, because you got your eyes on God. And that's exactly what was going on with Stephen. He had his eyes set on God. They're throwing rocks at him. They're fixing to kill him. He prays, Lord, don't hold this against them, because his eyes are on the Lord. You see, that's godly wisdom. That's not human wisdom, worldly wisdom. That's godly wisdom. Stephen probably heard the shouts, and he certainly noticed when the rocks would hit him, and he certainly didn't feel good about the situation he was in, but he was unconcerned about his circumstance because he was focused on the Lord. He was focused on his calling. The scripture says that Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heaven. He saw God's glory with Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, look, I see heaven. The heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. What an amazing testimony. Folks, when you hear somebody give testimony of what God's done, it just feels, if you love the Lord, it just fills your heart. That's what's going on here. Stephen's giving testimony. His eyes were drawn to the Lord, not to the trials that were around him. Here was a man of true wisdom. You see, this world's passing away. There's nothing here that's going to last forever. And we just focus on it all the time. When what's going to last forever is what comes next. Scripture says that we might have 70. Some of us live beyond that. I had a friend not too long ago live past 100. And I thought to myself, man, that's a long time. But you know, when you created the heavens and the earth, you hung the stars in the sky, 100 years is nothing. And God intends us to enjoy that. But with this amazing testimony, his eyes were set on the Lord. That is true wisdom, when his eyes are set on the Lord, when your eyes are set on the Lord. Hardships come in every life. And a lot of times they come because we make stupid decisions. How many times have you thought to yourself, I'm not going to do that anymore? I never will forget, my son and I were wrestling. He was a little bitty guy. And he jumped at me just about the time that I was going to fake to hit him. And I hit him with my fist right between the eyes. And it just flipped him around, and he's 5 years old. I just scooped him up, and I started trying to rub. He had already had a little knot come up on his head, and, man, I felt so bad. And he looked up at me, and he said, Daddy, let's don't do that anymore. You know, we get that way. Hardships come. We make foolish decisions, but we can decide we're not going to do that anymore. But when we set our hearts on the will of God, then we can experience things like Stephen did and not even notice. You know, the things that we get because of things that we did or choices we make, that's called chastisement. Sometimes God has to correct us to get us back to where we're supposed to be. But to get, you know, sometimes he does things to get our attention. He'll speak as loudly as he needs to speak to get our attention and get us back on the path where we're supposed to be. I'm not saying that Stephen deserved to die, but he was willing to face death because he was worried more about God than he was about himself. When trial comes, and it's going to come, cold winds are going to begin to blow, life's going to get hard, and we need to have lived according to God's word to allow us to deal with those difficult times. Because when we focus on things, that's all we're focused on. When we're focused on God, we can forget about things. That's wisdom. You need to take some time to examine your own heart. The source of your wisdom determines how you're going to live. What drives you? What makes you make the decisions that you do? In verse 55, it tells us that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. I said that over and over again. I don't want y'all to miss that. But at that moment in time, Stephen was exactly where he was supposed to be. He was exactly where God wanted him to be. Now, you might live your life thinking that God doesn't want you to ever hurt. Obviously, you didn't read the Bible. God gave us pain for a reason. And we think, you know, if he was this man filled with the Holy Spirit, he was so blessed of God, why did he end up being killed by a bunch of people who were religious? Well, he did because God used his life for his glory. You know, that's a horrible death to think how Stephen died, but God got glory from it. How many times has this story been told through the years? This man filled with the Holy Spirit died because his eyes were set on God. It doesn't make sense from the worldly perspective. Stephen arrived where he did. He got to the place that he did because he was following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God takes us down difficult paths. And folks, if you don't learn in the path to hang on tightly to the Lord, you won't survive the path. There are times, I've said this through my ministry, there are times all you can do is hang on to the hem of his garment because there's nothing else. I want to tell you, there's nothing else. This world is going to, none of us get out of this thing alive. We're all going to die. We just get to choose how we're going to live. And when we're sold out to God, we can be assured that through it, God, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And he's talking to the Jewish nation, but it applies to us. God does have a plan, and it's the best possible plan, but you have to follow his plan. When we stick our plan into God's plan, it just gums up the works. Stephen understood that. When we walk into difficult situations, sometimes we need to consider who's in charge of our lives. Is God in charge and things get hard? It's okay. God's in charge. But if I got here by myself, I'm really in trouble. That's when most of us start praying, when we find out we got ourselves into trouble and we can't get out. That's like this morning. We walked in this morning. The church is beautiful. Whoever decorated it did a great job. All this pretty red. We get in here and we sit down. I love my wife. She looks at me and she said, "You wore the wrong shirt." And I said, "I laid out three different shirts." I said, "Which one you want me to wear?" She said, "Well, just wear that one." So I did. We get here and she said, "You clash with everything in the church." I made a wrong decision. I should have known that. If I'd been listening to the Holy Spirit, maybe he'd have told me to wear something red. I don't know. When you walk into difficult situations, when we get to doing our own leading, we always find ourselves in deep trouble. But when we follow God's leading, we may have a difficult time, but he still sits on the throne and he knows what's best. Amazing grace that God has to place us where we can We can grow in our relationship through with him through even difficult times. Sometimes the Lord will lead you to places in life that make absolutely no sense at all. And yet you know that you're at the center of his will. Folks, that's when peace comes on. When God's in control of your life, you don't have to hold on. He's in control. Our duty in life is to yield to him and to allow him to work his will and his plan and take us where he wants us to be, even when we don't like the destination. Here's Stephen. I'm sure he probably would have picked anywhere else. And yet God brought him to this place. They started hitting his body. His earthly life was over. And what's he doing? He's not worried about this old body. He's got his eyes set on the Lord. Stephen teaches us a valuable lesson in these verses. We can either spend our lives focused on the problems that we have in life, or we can spend our lives focused on the Lord. What choice do you have? You spend your time focused on the things of this life, and it's nothing but problems. But you spend your life focused on the Lord, it's going to work out. He's in charge. We can look at anything that we want to, but our help will come when we learn to look past what I want, and we look forward to what God wants. We trust our lives to him. We surrender our lives to him. We put our wants and wishes in his hands. And God works his will. And folks, I already told you, he knows what's best. He has a great plan. And that plan's a good thing. I've told you two different ways that you can live. You can have worldly wisdom. You just keep on doing whatever you're doing. Or you can set your heart on things above. You can set your mind on God and him and follow his leading, and God will pour out his richest blessing. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we come to this time of decision, that there'd be someone here this day who may not know you, but they desperately need to. Lord, we'll have Bill here at the front. There'll be others available. Lord, if you have someone here this day, you prompt them to come forward, take these hands, and ask them to show you the way to Jesus. And Lord, maybe somebody here just needs to be part of this membership, this church. Lord, you prompt them to come and present themselves for membership. And Lord, maybe someone just needed to hear this message today to change the way that they live themselves. Lord, you work in each of these situations. You work your will. We'll give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.